Have you ever been asked to do something that maybe you hadn't done before? You're not just quite sure how to start, how to go about taking care of some task that you hadn't done before. Maybe you've seen other people do it. Maybe it's something that seems familiar to you, but you're just not sure yourself, just where to begin or how to take care of some task that you have ahead of you. You may ask others for advice. You may do a little bit of research. I found a website. It's called www.examples.com. And there's a little search engine at the top of the opening page. And you can type into that box your concern, and it will return to you an example of almost anything you can think of. You could look for an example of a healthy salad or an example of a high school chemistry examination. You could request an example of a resume if you're looking for a job. You could type in that you need an example of a wedding toast. Maybe you're going to be at a wedding and you're expected to offer a toast. Have you ever done that before? How would you go about knowing what to do? You can type in and request information on inexpensive landscaping suggestions for your backyard. How to ask someone for a date. Type in almost anything and you'll virtually instantly get dozens of links to information to provide you an example of what you're looking for. It's a little bit like YouTube, except there aren't videos. It's just in print. Of course, on YouTube, you can find a video on almost anything. A lot of them are to-do type of videos, how to accomplish something. And they can be helpful, especially since they offer you an actual, often a visual example. Because when we're learning, it's always helpful to see something, to see an example, to help us to have a pattern that we can follow to accomplish something for ourselves. Well, you know, the same is true about life. Life is something that we experience, but it's also so helpful for us to see an example of how things ought to be done. You may not realize the impact that you have on other people's lives, that they're observing you and they receive some visual living example based on the decisions that you make, the way that you live. I suppose most of the time we don't think much about how our behavior may influence someone else, but other people are watching. It might be helpful to take a few minutes this afternoon to pause and consider what Scripture tells us about the importance of being a good example. The title I've given to the sermon today is Setting and Following a Good Example. It's not really a complicated subject at all. How many of you, I'm curious, how many of you are firstborn children in your family? Wow, pretty good. I'd say about a quarter, maybe a third of us are firstborn. I include myself in that category. If it was in your household like it was in mine, the firstborn is constantly badgered to be a good example. Constantly reminded that the younger brothers and sisters are watching, and that you are therefore required to do the right thing every time so that you can set the right example. It always exasperated me that it didn't matter what I did. It was never really a good enough example. And besides that, my brothers weren't paying any attention anyway. So I was often credited for their bad behavior. But examples, whether good examples or bad, are all around us all the time. In fact, each one of us is an example to someone else. one thing we might want to consider is, what kind of an example am I? And how can I be sure that I'm following the right examples? So I want to consider with you this afternoon some very basic principles about being a good example and following good examples. So the first point we're going to talk about is simple. We should set the right example. We should be the right example. In one sense, we're all firstborn, aren't we? We're part of the first fruits of God's kingdom. And as such, in a very real way, we're setting the pace for others who will follow. We need to set the right example. All around us, we see a lot of good examples and, frankly, some not so good examples as well. Frankly, most people, at least who are not concerned about themselves in this way, just want to live their own lives without being burdened by the responsibility of being an example. They don't want to be a role model. Oftentimes you'll hear celebrities complain that they're set up as a role model, and that's not what they want to be. But because of their celebrity, people are going to look to them. Oftentimes, especially the younger people, will look to them and in some ways pattern their lives after what they see others who seem to be successful and how they live their lives. Celebrities are often the best examples of bad examples. The Kardashians, I've never seen their program, but I hear of them often. Miley Cyrus, Justin Bieber. I know there are so many celebrities who just do things that are so bizarre and so really off the chart and unreasonable, but they get so much attention that they set an example and often have a great deal to do with the way the society is going to turn. It's also disappointing when you hear of successful athletes who turn cheaters. Now, I realize that Tom Brady's situation is still being adjudicated. We don't know exactly what happened, but I think most people are pretty convinced that this star quarterback probably is not shy about nudging the rules, at least. Others have become examples of drug abusers. If you follow baseball, there's Alex Rodriguez, who sat out an entire baseball season because of his use of steroid-type drugs. Lance Armstrong, for years, lied about whether or not he had taken those performance-enhancing drugs and later had to admit that he did. It's amazing how so many people, and politicians among them, can be caught in just a horribly embarrassing scandal. But within a couple of weeks, it's all forgotten and they move on. What kind of an example do we set? There's some scriptural principles that are probably very familiar to us. Let's begin in Matthew 5. Matthew 5. Verse 14. Matthew 5, 14. Jesus is speaking really to multitudes in general, but in particular, he's speaking to those who become his disciples, those who are willing to follow him and to be led by his instructions. Matthew 5:14, he says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they take a lamp, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house." So that's an illustration. That's kind of an obvious observation that a light in the dark on a hillside is going to be visible for great distances. That a lamp in a household is going to be put in a place where all of the members of the household can benefit from it. Simple observation. Then comes the instruction. Jesus said, "Then knowing those principles to be true, let your light So shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Bad examples have a huge impact on people, but they're kind of inevitable given the culture that we live in. And again, many people don't want to be an example, but the reality is that everyone is an example. And we, who are disciples of Jesus Christ and followers of his instruction, certainly recognize the responsibility we have to model or to be an example of, to follow the instructions that he's given to us. It speaks of households and the light that shines within a household. First of all, we're examples to one another in a general sense. But we learn so much about life by the examples in our homes. Boys learn how to be men and how to be fathers by the example of their fathers. Of course, girls learn as well what a father and a husband should be like by observing the relationship that they see in their home. Girls learn how to be women and be wives by the examples of their mothers. And they, boys also learn from their mothers and learn the principles of living together as a family and the responsibilities that parents have to each other and that parents have to their children. One problem we have in society in general is that the mistakes of one generation are repeated by the next. And so when we set the right examples, and we certainly have given our children the foundation, or that part of the foundation that they can build on, so they can learn how to be an adult, how to be a man, how to be a woman, how to be a husband or a wife. That light shines brightly in our homes. We learn also from other adults in the church congregation. We see examples of behavior in different circumstances. We see how others deal with the trials that occur in their lives. Their courage, their strength, their positive attitude can be an example to the rest of us to help us to know how to deal with it ourselves. We often come across, as I said at the very beginning, situations and circumstances where now it's our turn and we don't know exactly what to do or how to handle it. Having seen the example of others can be very helpful to us. We see how other members of the church deal with difficulties between each other, how they work out the problems so they learn to get along, how to treat other people in general, and especially how to deal with some of the rough spots. There's so many different ways that we set an example to one another. We set an example to others outside of the church as well. We may not intend to, but we do, just because of the choices we make and how to live. People see how you dress. People notice your language. They notice the kinds of jokes you tell, maybe the kind of music you listen to, the way you respond to someone who has authority, maybe a teacher or maybe a policeman. They notice. They see a pattern. And it's helpful to them in the long run when they see a pattern of someone who is, as we heard earlier, living by God's law, by doing what they have learned to do. That's part of our example. Turn back with me to Titus 2. We see an instruction here. Now, again, just as it is with the epistle to Timothy, this epistle is written to by Paul to one who is a pastor or an evangelist, in this case, a minister. He's giving him instruction on the example that he sets and other examples that also take place within the church family. He says in chapter 2, verse 1, Paul writes to Titus, "But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, so that the older men may be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience, and that the older women likewise may be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, nor given to much wine, teachers of good things. Verse 4, that they in turn may admonish the young women to love their children and to love their husbands, to be discreet and chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Why would God's word be blasphemed if we didn't practice these practical, basic instructions of how we get along with each other and how we get along as families? Because we would misrepresent the name of God. The example that we set would put God in a bad light if we didn't do, as we're told here, that live in the way that we should. I might back up just a bit and comment on the instruction here for women to exhort the younger women. Admonish is used here in the New King James. To admonish means to encourage. For women to help younger women to learn some of the basic principles of life is not a matter of correcting or stepping in and embarrassing someone by pointing out something where they've been doing it improperly. To admonish means to encourage. And you know what? Often the best way to influence someone else or to encourage someone else is by our example. By being ourselves the kind of person that we need to be so that we can help others see how a godly woman, in this particular case, or also the men are mentioned as well, how a godly man deals with certain kinds of situations. If we want to teach the next generation to be sober and reverent and sound in faith, to have patience and love, to be the kind of wife that will properly serve her husband and children, then that's the kind of example that we should set. And certainly, being able to encourage someone else is based as well on a relationship. Being one who is known to be friendly and loving and understanding, rather than one who is judgmental. We've often heard the phrase that I'd rather see a sermon than hear one. And our influence on others is certainly based on our proper representation of God's way in our own lives, the examples that we set. Continuing on here in this context, and I backed up and I read all of the preceding here about how we are to help one another so that I can focus here in verse 6. It says, exhort the young men to be sober-minded in all things. Verse 7, in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works. Now that's an instruction given specifically to Titus, but it's one that we observe as well. That if we want to help others, then we should be a pattern or an example of good works. Sometimes that doesn't seem to be effective. We want to grab somebody by the collar and tell them what's wrong. Thankfully, we don't literally do that, but sometimes we might feel that way about someone else. But by living a pattern of good works, of being the right kind of example ourselves, then we will be able to influence and help others. There may be times when we do actually literally encourage one another in words by expounding or expanding upon some principle to help someone. But if that's the only approach that we take, rather than being what we want them to be, setting the right example, then we're going to have some difficulty having any success. We have to be something ourselves before we can expect someone else to do that. Reminds me of a situation where there was a man who had been unemployed for a long time. He was desperate to try to find a job. Applied every place he could, wasn't having any luck. Finally, he applied for a job at the local zoo, but he was told that there were no openings. As he was turned to walk away, the zookeeper called him back. He said, "Wait a minute, this is crazy, but I wonder if you'll consider it. Our most popular exhibit here at the zoo is the gorilla, and yesterday he died. And there's no way for us to replace him quickly, so here's what we can do. We can put you in a special custom-made gorilla suit." And he's a big guy, kind of heavy set, athletic, and you can be in this gorilla, you can be our gorilla until we find a replacement for him. The guy was so desperate he took the job. And he was a little nervous, because how do you behave? Maybe you looked it up on examples.com, how to act like a gorilla. But he put on his little gorilla suit, and he went into the cage on the first day, and he started beating himself on the chest and jumping up and down, and the people loved it. He was doing a great job. And so he gained confidence. He started shaking the bars and screaming and running around in his enclosure, and got more and more people coming to watch him. A couple of days later, he decided he'd start swinging from the vines that were in the enclosure. And he was having a great time swinging back and forth and carrying on. And then he misjudged, and he slipped off the vine, and he went sailing out of his enclosure over into the lion's enclosure. Now, suddenly, he was totally panicked. What do I do now? If I say something, then the people will realize I'm a fraud, and I'll lose my job. But if I don't call up for help, then I'm going to be this lion's lunch. So he thought about it just for a couple of seconds, and he decided this job ain't worth it. And he screamed for help. And the lion snuggled up to him and said, "Shut up, you're going to get us both fired." You got to be what you want others to be, or it's not going to work. I'm not sure if that really fits or not, but I thought it was. Philippians 2, verse 14. Philippians 2, 14. We're talking about being an example. And the principle is clear, that others notice and that we as Christians have a responsibility to properly represent who Jesus Christ is. After all, again, we've taken the name. We call ourselves after the name of Jesus Christ. And so the example we set must be a good one. And how many times have we all heard, if that's the way a Christian is, I don't want anything to do with that. We don't want to be a wrong example. Philippians 2:14 says, "Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life." Part of our responsibility, part of what Jesus Christ expects of us, is that we will live up to his name, that we will not be caught up in the evil of this crooked and perverse generation, but that we'll be different. We know it isn't easy to be different. We know it's sometimes lonely to not be able to fit in. But being an example, being a light, is something that is of particular importance to us. And I think that oftentimes, frankly, it's our young people, our teens, our college students and high school students who face that in a much more intense way than the rest of us do. As adults on the job, we may run into some kind of flack for what we believe or don't believe or what we do. But in the younger world, it's much more intense, much more difficult, much more of a challenge. We are to be the light, that we are to shine as godly people in a perverse world. Now, Peter takes it even a step further. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. 1 Peter 2, verse 11. He makes the same point, but he expresses how this will affect others who are not now part of the church. Paul is talking to church members primarily. Peter is as well, but he shows the impact. 1 Peter 2:11, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles," or as we would understand it, honorable among people who are not part of God's church, "so that when they speak evil against you, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation." There's going to come a time when you will realize how much people did recognize who you were and how different you were, how you lived. It seems like wherever we go as a group, we're noticed, and people often say, "Well, I don't know what it is, but there's something different about those folks. There's something special." Our teens always set an excellent example at the Comfort Inn when we're there for the prom. And the staff there mentions every year how much they appreciate seeing young teenagers behave so well and being such fine examples. We go to the Feast of Tabernacles. We get comments about our families. People in restaurants notice. You know, first of all, they cringe. They see you come in with three or four children, and they think, "Oh boy, there goes my meal." But they notice our well-behaved families. They notice how well-dressed they are, how polite they are. You know, they notice the kinds of, and if they see a group of teenagers, maybe there's some teens out on a group date during the Feast of Tabernacles. They notice that this group of kids is different. Now, young people, teens, young adults always make us older guys nervous at first. But when we see the example, we see the behavior. And even more than that, it says here that if they speak of you as an evildoer, someday they're going to realize that you weren't doing anything wrong by what you believed and the way you lived. It was different from what others are doing. And they'll realize that what you were doing was the right thing. Now, I also find it interesting that when they come to that realization, they don't praise you for your good behavior. It says they glorify God. They recognize who the real source is of that kind of person, that kind of behavior. So it's a very simple thing, but it's so basic to be the right example. Let's go on to another step. It's also simple, but it's also some very important. Follow good examples. Follow good examples. The Proverbs warn about those who follow anyone who will lead them astray and bring them into the ways of sin, and it condemns those who would lead a young person in the wrong direction. We have to be sure that what we follow is a good example. We can be drawn to certain things that might seem exciting or interesting or pleasant. It might seem like it'd be a lot of fun. But we have to understand, first of all, because we're striving to be a good example, that there are things that we must keep in mind. So we have to be sure that we're following the good examples. Romans 15. Romans chapter 15. We see a lot of good examples around us in people who are living a godly way of life. We also find a source of a lot of encouragement and positive example in Scripture. Romans 15, verse 4 says, "Whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures we might have hope." We find so many positive, meaningful, helpful examples in Scripture, some powerful stories or accounts that encourage us to make the right choice when we're challenged, when our faith is put to the test. Some of these are in the form of what we consider to be children's Bible stories. But think about the faith that was exhibited by Daniel's friends when they were cast into that fiery furnace because they refused to worship a false god. What an example. When we read those kinds of accounts, we realize that when our faith is put to the test, we can stand our ground as well. That we don't need to back down. We don't need to be afraid of other people. We put God first, and He will take care of us. Now, they may still speak of you as an evildoer. That's what we saw in 1 Peter. They may not respect you fully for the choices you're making. But we learn that our faith will bring us through those worrisome, difficult, and sometimes even dangerous situations. When Daniel refused to pray, you know, the law went out that no one could pray to another god for a month, for 30 days. Now, the penalty for doing it was, for praying to another god, was death. So here's the thing. All you have to do is not pray for 30 days. No big deal, right? Well, to Daniel it was. To Daniel it was. And he lived by his faith. We see that example. That compromise was not part of Daniel's life. He would be willing to face that severe penalty rather than to not pray for 30 days. He not only prayed, he went up in a prominent place and opened the doors and windows and got down on his knees before his God to pray. There's an example. There's one we can safely follow. There are many other examples, many other stories, or I should say accounts, of faithful men and women in God's Word that are the kinds of examples that we should learn about and learn to follow. We also have good examples, as I mentioned earlier, around and among us within God's church. Again, we have many examples of faithful men and women who are willing to do whatever they need, whether it's to lose a job, whether it's to even have trouble in their home if their spouse isn't part of the church. They put God first, and they're willing to do that. Turn to Philippians 3, verse 17. And we should be aware of that. We can be aware of that. Philippians 3, 17. Paul says, "Brethren, join me," or join in following my example. Follow my example. Elsewhere in the letter to the Corinthians, Paul wrote, "Follow me as I follow Christ." We can follow those people who are examples to us that we know are following faithfully Jesus Christ, whatever the circumstance of their life might be. So follow me in my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. We have one another as a pattern, a model, an example. Now we are thankful to look to those who set that kind of faithful pattern for us. It also reminds us, as we started with, that we need to be a pattern ourselves, that someone else can safely follow. We look to others in a proper sense as we note and are encouraged by their faithfulness. 2 Timothy 1. 2 Timothy, first chapter. Verse 15. This is an example that we see here. First of all, verse 13, hold fast the pattern of sound words. That has to do with maintaining the teachings that we have received. Again, instruction to Timothy as an evangelist to hold on to maintain the model, the example, the pattern of sound doctrine that he has learned. Verse 15, this you know, that all those in Asia have turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord grant mercy to the household. Now, he first of all mentions two individuals who had abandoned him in a time of need. This was apparently one of the times when Paul was standing trial, being held in prison. And those in Asia, in that area of the world that where he had raised up so many churches, had failed to support him. And he names two of them in particular. But then he says in verse 16, "The Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. When he arrived in Rome, he sought me out very zealously and he found me. The Lord grant to him that he may find mercy from the Lord in that day. And you know how very well, in many ways, he ministered to me at Ephesus." Here was a person who set a good example. Paul mentions him in the same context with others who had abandoned him. But he notes, and he wants Timothy here as a fellow minister to understand what a special help and encouragement this individual was to him. Sets him up as an example of one who is courageous and faithful and loyal and committed, even in times when his own life might have been in some ways endangered. There are good examples among us, around us, and that we find accounts of in Scripture that help to strengthen and solidify and stabilize us in those times that sometimes can be very difficult. So look for and follow good examples. The third principle we'll talk about is to learn from, but don't follow, the bad examples. There are bad examples around us as well. And they're recorded as well for us, many of them in Scripture, as warnings. When we see what others have done that was not proper, it can help us to learn positive lessons, to learn some errors that we should not repeat. We often consider the history of Israel and the mistakes that they made. That the examples, in many cases, are negative ones that teach us example. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians 10. We'll just drop down to verse 5, where Paul is getting to the point that he wants to make about the history of the people of Israel as they came out of Egypt. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. With most of them, that is the Israelites, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness, and these things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. So here's a time when there were some serious mistakes that were made. The people of Israel did not live according to the covenant, the laws that God had given to them. Instead, they wanted to please themselves. They lusted after things for themselves. They didn't show confidence in God when he had stepped in to heal them, to intervene for them. Their mistakes are very obvious to us. And so we can learn not to behave as they did. They were idolaters. They were immoral. They were unfaithful. They were complainers. You can read all those different qualities they had. Most of those we can very easily relate to our own situations, that we not allow the situations that we're in to lead us to behave in the same way that they did. Their mistakes are so obvious to us that sometimes we think, well, but that's something that I would not be tempted to do that. I would not fail in the way that they did. So I think the most important lesson that Paul brings out in this context is in verse 12, where he says, "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." The examples of the obvious mistakes that the people of Israel made might seem like something that we wouldn't, I'd never do that. That's ridiculous. But in principle, in other ways, we can find ourselves making the very same kinds of mistakes. And so it's so essential that we learn not to follow bad examples. And when we see an example in Scripture as this is, that we recognize that that's something that we need to learn from and be very cautious about and not fall into. Hebrews 4:11. Hebrews 4:11. This also is in the same general context of mistakes that the nation of Israel made at the time that God was bringing them out of Egypt and leading them toward their promised land. Hebrews 4:11, we're told, "Let us therefore be diligent to enter the rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience." Disobedience and faithlessness are two of the most obvious and common mistakes. Israel was guilty of them repeatedly. In fact, as we read through this section of Scripture, they're so familiar that they almost seem trivial. And we can read right over them. But the repetition itself is a warning to us that even though we're aware of their bad example, we need to continually be reminded so that we will not repeat the same kinds of mistakes. The bad examples are there, and they're there for us to see and to recognize. And we need to not fail to learn from them. 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2. Verse 15. 2 Timothy 2:15. Paul, again writing to Timothy, says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." This is a positive example that we can set, as Timothy was exhorted to do, to be diligent in the way that we apply and learn about God's life, so that we don't have to be ashamed of the product of our life that we are producing. Verse 16, he continues, "But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some." Hymenaeus and Philetus are given as bad examples of those who have gone astray doctrinally and spreading a message that is harmful to others. In their particular case, they were saying that the resurrection had already passed. There are others who purvey other false doctrines. And, as I said a little earlier, we have to be able to distinguish, to recognize and follow the good examples, not the bad examples. It takes a great deal of understanding, of spiritual maturity, of godly and righteous judgment to recognize what is wrong and to be willing to hold on to what is good, not to be led astray by someone else in their bad example. This is a basic lesson that we learn of staying within and following the good examples. There are many other bad examples that are given or listed here or identified in Scripture. Sodom and Gomorrah is held up in many different cases as an example of the kind of sinfulness that God will not allow, that he will intervene. Jude 7 speaks of how those in Sodom and Gomorrah gave themselves over to sexual immorality. And it says that they're set forth as an example because of the punishment that they ultimately received. Also mentioned in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 6. 2 Peter, the second chapter, says that God turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes and condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly. It's pretty frustrating, isn't it, that it seems like people get away with stuff? It seems like people who are immoral, people who practice things that are without self-restraint, who enjoy the pleasures, as it says in Hebrews, the pleasures of sin, seem to get away. But these are examples that remind us that God eventually punishes those who are evil. An example, a reminder that no, God is fair, God is righteous. And if we are willing to live according to his way and not compromise ourselves, then we are protecting ourselves from punishment that someday will come. We live in a completely either immoral or amoral world. Either way, God's laws of morality are not taken seriously. It might seem appealing, it might seem enjoyable, but here we learn from the lesson that it does not go unpunished. So we've seen that we need to be an example. We see that we should follow good examples. We see that also we should learn not to follow bad examples. Let's consider one more principle as we work toward the conclusion. That is, I think, an obvious one as well. Jesus Christ is the ultimate example. Jesus Christ is the ultimate. He's the one whose example we can follow in absolutely every sense, and that whose example we need to understand and be aware of so that we will follow him. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter, the second chapter. Verse 20. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. Well, you could begin the previous verse where it says we should endure grief even when we suffer wrongfully. Verse 19. Verse 20. What credit is it if, when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? You know, if you got it coming, then so what if you take your punishment patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take that patiently, that is commendable before God. For to this you were called. In other words, this is part of the way that we were called to, that we're brought into the way that Jesus Christ lived and suffered. To this you are called because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin. No deceit was found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he committed himself to God who judges righteously. Jesus Christ is an ultimate and the perfect example on so many levels. Notice the context here. We often consider the statement here that we should follow his example. He left an example for us to follow in his steps, it says in verse 21. But the context here is about his suffering. He was an example of being willing to suffer patiently this undeserved abuse He reminds us that we must not lash back at others or become angry or vindictive if we're treated unfairly. Jesus Christ was a model or an example of being willing to accept and to put himself in the hands of God himself. Now, quite honestly, most of us have never had to deal with it on a level anywhere close to what Jesus endured. It's easy for us to very quickly become angry if we're not treated fairly. Now, there are times when, of course, we need to do what we can to right a situation. But Jesus Christ set, once again, the perfect example of being willing to, in this situation, to simply put it in God's hands and not to lash back out. You know, says in one of the gospel accounts of his crucifixion that he had the authority to call down, 10 legions of angels to protect him from that moment of his death or his crucifixion. But he submitted himself to the situation. He submitted himself fully, put himself in God's hands. And I think that's the real lesson of what we see here, that Jesus put himself completely and totally in the hands of the Father, to let him work out the situation. 1 John chapter 2, verse 4. This is a more general statement regarding our following the example of Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 2, verse 4. He who says, "I know him," speaking of Jesus Christ, "and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought also to walk just as he walked," to follow the pattern of life that Jesus Christ established. And we see two very important lessons regarding the example of Jesus Christ. He put himself completely and fully in the hands of his Father to care for him, and he lived in a way that we must fully embrace and follow. We trace the pattern of his life by the way that we live. We follow in his footsteps. The word example that's used in 1 Peter 2, we saw that a moment ago, literally refers to a slate that is used for tracing letters. It was a means of learning the Greek alphabet. And they would have this slate, put some paper over it, and a person would trace the letters that are embossed on that slate to learn how to write the letters in the Greek alphabet. It's, in other words, a visible form that is to be copied. That, of course, is what Jesus Christ is. He's a model. He's a pattern. He shows us how to live. And we can trace the pattern of his life every way, at every level in our lives. Whatever we need to learn about life, we can learn through Jesus Christ and his example to us. This pattern that we're tracing as we follow the example or the model of Jesus Christ, as we do it repeatedly, becomes internalized. We internalize the laws of God. They're not just something that we externally copy, like someone learning the alphabet by tracing on this over this slate. They become part of our very character by our choices and by our repetition. Reminds me of a whole series of other scriptures we could turn to that I won't have the time to. But remember that in Hebrews 1, Jesus is called the exact image of God. He's a precise and exact duplicate, a replica of God. In Colossians 3, we're told to be created in the image of the one who created us, that we're also to become an image of our Creator by the way that we live. We put off the old man, we put on the new man, and we're being traced or being created in the image of Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 8, says that this process inscribes God's law in our minds and on our hearts. So our goal is to become an exact replica, an image of Jesus Christ. And that model is set forth for us that we can see and witness in Scripture. One more verse, John 13, verse 15. We'll go from the Epistle of John to the Gospel of John. John chapter 13. This chapter, of course, is where we find the introduction of the foot washing as part of the Passover service. John 13, 15, after he had washed their feet and then explained to them why he had done so, he says in verse 15, I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. He gave us a specific example here of foot washing as part of the Passover observance, but foot washing only represents all that Jesus Christ was, his humility, his love, his dedication to his disciples, the care that he showed for them. He said, copy my example. Do what I have done. Verse 17, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. We see the pattern. We see the example that Jesus Christ set for us. And he promises blessings to us if we take out that stylus and we begin to copy and trace the model of Jesus Christ. And that becomes our character because we've seen the example and we've committed ourselves to following it. Now, there's a lot about life that we haven't gotten around to yet, that hasn't happened to us, circumstances we haven't dealt with, challenges and trials and opportunities that are still to come. How will we know how to live, what choices to make when those things come about? We need an example. We need to follow the good examples we find. We need to learn from the bad examples. We need to learn to be an example ourselves so that we might be of help to others. And most of all, we need to learn to follow the pattern, the example of Jesus Christ. He is the only safe path in this life. And he will lead us through our lives. We have a responsibility to one another. We have a responsibility to the world. Those outside the church, because they're looking to your example, and someday we'll appreciate and recognize it more fully. Let's remember the importance of setting and following a good example.